Welcome to Curly and Confident, the podcast where two curly-haired queens share their journeys to finding confidence in their curls. We're your hosts, Emily Palacios
and Salisha Thomas, and we're here to dive into the world of curly hair and the empowering journey to self-confidence. Because here's the thing.
It's not just about the hair. Curly and Confident is all about celebrating the beauty of being you.
Get ready to laugh, learn, and maybe even shed a tear or two as we explore what it truly means to be curly and confident.
Amazing. We're recording.
We're
doing it. This is very exciting. I literally basically don't know what's going to happen. This is brand new. It's very thrilling. I like new projects.
This is thrilling.
Yeah, I tried to show you something. I wanted to show you our opening, but that didn't work. Technology was not on my side today. But that's okay. I'll figure it out.
But you know what, Emily? We are up in here because we might not know technology, but we're recording.
We're recording. We figured out our microphones.
We got this far.
We did.
Okay, so how should we do this? Should we like introduce ourselves?
Yeah, because I mean, this is going to be under now the Cycle Chats network. So people are going to be somewhat familiar with me, especially if they've listened to our other shows, but they have no idea
right. Who
you are. So introduce yourself. And also, this is going to be the first time I'm hearing some of these things too, which is very exciting.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Who am I? What a deep philosophical question to get us started. Well, I am Salisha Thomas Weiss. I just got married, so I'm constantly questioning, is it Salisha Weiss or am I still Salisha Thomas? I live in New York City. I am a curly girl. I celebrated my 6th year of no straightening my curls this past January.
Yay!
It was a big milestone for me. I have been an actress on Broadway, a voiceover and commercial artist. I have 2 podcasts of my own on the Broadway Podcast Network, Black Hair in the Big Leagues, and The Salisha Show. And I hail from California. I'm a former Miss California, a former Disney vocalist / princess, and I love to make friends. I'm also, my husband doesn't really believe this, but I do feel introverted, and I work well in big groups of people.
Collage. Felicia's perfect.
Yeah,
she stands out among the collage. I'm here.
Hello. I appear to work really well in big groups of people, but I recharge alone. So I would say that I'm an introvert. I enjoy an occasional glass of wine. I am a church girl, but haven't really been to service lately. And I don't know what else, Emily. I'm trying to think of anything else.
I don't know what makes you tick. Like, what's your favorite thing that you like when you're off? What's your go-to?
Oh, okay. Well, a couple of things. I'm in the Broadway community. But aside from that, and I like to take myself out of it, I love to talk about shows, what's in, what's out, what's good, what's bad. It gets personal if a show that I'm in is part of the conversation, but I love like talking about the Tonys and stuff. I also love really long walks, like 2-hour walks. And I love to match up my single friends. Andrew's my husband. We like to match up our single girlfriends and guy friends, but also realizing that we have so many gay friends and they all want to find someone. And so we started like a little thing on Zoom where we're like,
I saw your little love is blind thing. It's so cute. What a great idea.
It's so fun. And people are like, well, what's the catch? We're like, I don't know. We just want to match up our friends.
Yeah.
And this last time we had the guys and we had the girls. And then at the end, they like said who was their number one. And we match them up in a group chat. But two of the girls were like, they named each other. We're like, oh, well, there we go.
I love it. I thought that was so sweet. It's funny because so if you're new to this show and you're coming from Salisha's world, then you have no idea who I am. But my typical co-host, Stephanie Laverty, who I own Cycle Chats Network with and do Break the Cycle with, I actually set her and her boyfriend, currently her partner, up on a date. I'm for those of you that are like, I don't know who you are from Eve. It's fine. So I'm a college professor. That's what I do with my day job. I teach theater and theater appreciation and acting one, and I get to share my passion for theater with the next generation of not only like privileged people, but I work in a space that is coming mostly with marginalized community members. So I get to share my love of theater with them. And I find that is such an amazing way for them to grow and evolve and see that they can make a difference in the world. So I've been really, really lucky. But
I can tell you're a good teacher too, because we met at PodFest when yep. you were a speaker and I was in like your class. Mm-hmm. What would we call it? Like a session?
Yeah, I would say that.
And I loved seeing you and Stephanie on stage. It was, you're so wonderful. You were literally and physically colorful, but your personalities are also so colorful and easy to understand. Just well, fun.
You were my like A++ student. Salisha's like, of course, this is an audio podcast, but Salisha's in the audience and listening to our session and like emoting like crazy. And I was like, oh, those are my favorite types of students. The ones that emote back. I hate blank face people. I'm like, I don't know if I'm reaching you. I know nothing.
So interesting. I don't even think about it.
Of course, it's in our blood, right? It being,
but it does theater. Suck when you look out into the audience and it looks like resting bee face yeah. all over the place. It's like, oh, do you hate me?
Yeah, have I done something to offend you? I don't know, but yes, no, it's so I don't like that. But I saw you immediately and was like, oh, that girl's emoting. I love it. Give me more.
Oh.
But anyway, back to Stephanie and you're talking about students and setting people up. Her current partner was in my class 2 semesters ago. And at the end of the semester, when it's like the final class, I'll pull up our podcast page and be like, listen, if you want to support, if you like what I'm about, follow us here. And he goes, is that your co-host? I said, yeah. He goes, she's hot. She's single? In front of the whole class. This has never happened before. I've been a teacher for 5 years. I went, she is. She's not looking for anything serious. He goes, that's great. Neither am I. And I'm like, wow, the ball's on this kid.
Oh.
So I kind of, I think about it for a second. And I'm like, well, this might just work, actually.
That's cool.
And then I called Stephanie after class because I, which I never do, but I FaceTimed her too. And I was like, hey, this crazy thing just happened, but one of my students thinks you're hot. And she was like, what's his name? Because she's a very, very good detective. So she finds him on Instagram.
Our generation.
It's amazing, right?
A first name and a feeling and they'll find anybody.
She found him. She DMs him. They go out on a date that Saturday. The rest is history. They live together now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know what? I think that there's this, we got to get into hair, obviously.
I know.
But there's this special thing that happens to guys when they're like about to, like when they have found their person, they all of a sudden become like this grounded grown up. And there, I see glimpses of it in my own husband.
Well, it's funny. We had somebody on the podcast and they were like, well, it's kind of between two things. Men either want to build the castle and have you build it with them, or they want to build the castle and have you move in after. And I was like, whoa, my brain, right? And they fall into those two categories. Isn't that shocking? I was like, wow, that is right.
That is very accurate. I'm like looking at my, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Weird.
They
that's
want everything cool. to fall into place. And then they're like, okay, now I'm ready. Or they're like, no, I'll do the journey with you.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's crazy. But
that's so interesting. That would help me to like understand.
Yeah, of course.
Well, a lot more.
We're doing a whole new show called Bridge the Gap, which we are finally bringing men into the podcasting world and asking them to kind of help us understand the other gender. Because we just, we're females and have a female brain. So we work differently than a man.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But anyway.
Okay. Well, so Emily.
Yes.
One of the first things that attracted me to your beautiful personality is your hair. It is so curly and so vibrant, and it has a personality like your personality. So should we get into like what I would love to hear a little bit of your
my
hair.
Curl journey.
Yes, your curl
yeah.
journey.
I heard a little bit about yours because I'm not going to lie. And I listened to your podcast and I started listening. So I heard more about you, which is very exciting. I was like, I should probably listen to Salisha's podcast.
Oh, I rarely share about myself on there. Oh, you found one.
You were, it was Marcia. What's her last name? Thomas Harmon. There we go.
Yeah, oh, Marcia. Yes. Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
And I loved it. So Yeah, I'm a big fan. I got 16 more minutes left.
Oh, yeah, she's great. We went to the same curl guy in California who's awesome, the curl
yes.
doctor. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I love all of those things. Take my money. It doesn't really matter. I'm like, give it to me. But so, yeah, I was born with this, right? Some people think that this is like not natural or whatever, but this is my hair. And for those of you that are like, I can't see you, there'll be a picture of me and Celicia looking so beautifully and lovingly at one another up above.
Amen.
Or down below or wherever you are. So I grew up in a world as a millennial woman. I'm going to be 32 in June.
Woohoo!
But I grew up in a world where I didn't see white women with my hair. So I went, well, this must not be what I'm supposed to look like. So like so many people, I straightened my hair, right? And
yeah.
Back in the day, before straighteners existed, my mom would literally put my hair on an ironing board.
No way. Like in Hairspray? Did you ever see that movie? The first one?
Yeah, of course.
And they like straighten their hair in the jailhouse with an iron?
Yep. That was me and my mom. So my hair was never straight because, of course, if you think about leaning on an ironing board with your hair is going to come out to the side horizontally. So my hair didn't lie vertically. No, 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 friends. It lied horizontally. I will try and find pictures of this time. I looked like I had been electrocuted.
What?
But I thought that was better than my natural hair. So I did that for years because I was bullied pretty bad. And then finally, in a show, it's funny, I was just talking to my students today and somebody was like, well, have you ever been asked to straighten your hair for a role? Because they've only seen me with curly hair. And I said, I don't think so. I said, the reason that I started on my curly hair journey is because one of my directors asked if I would curl my hair for a show and leave it natural.
Oh.
And I went, I don't do that. So I'm a little uncomfortable. And he was like, but I'd really like it because the extra hair we're going to give you is curly. So it would fit in perfectly. I was like, okay. So
wait,
I tried
what?
It. Yeah. And that's what started me on because I went, oh, well, this doesn't look too bad. People are telling me that I look great. And I was getting complimented. And I went, okay. And that was in college. So I was like, I was a sophomore, so I was about 18 or 19 at that time. And I kind of never looked back. I straightened my hair on and off for a few years after that. But most of the time, and now, I think it's been upwards of 5 years since I've straightened my hair. I just leave it natural now. And it makes me different. And that's, I truthfully believe that that's what makes you special. That's what makes you unique and beautiful.
Why does it take us so long to figure this out? What
I know, that's what I was listening to in your episode with Marsha, right? I was like, oh, it took you a long time too. So
why does
interesting.
This, it's like we go through this period of like learning the opposite of what is true. And then once we get to a certain age, we have to unlearn all of the things that told us that we're not good enough, that we're not enough, that this is not like, it's like all of this unlearning. And I'm in this class right now, Emily. It's like about the voice. And she talks about like our minds and that voice in our head. We are always using our minds to fix the problem, trying to fix things. And she's like, that voice in your head is not fixing the problem. That voice in your head is the problem. And instead of listening to that, like all that constant chatter in your mind, instead focusing on this, on the feeling in your gut. And it's a whole different way of approaching life. It's like when I listen to the voice in my head, everything is wrong with me.
Yeah, of course.
But this feeling is like, oh, but I love my curly hair. It's too bad. I look awful. Two different things.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So it's like, I don't know. It's very interesting. And one of the reasons that I have wanted to do a show involving curls and confidence and all of that is because, like I said, I was bullied pretty bad. But I also, if you've listened once again to the Cycle Chats Network before, you know that I have two nieces. And if they're listening right now, if my brother has let them, hello, Scarlett and Sadie. But they have curly hair. And it's beautiful. And I want them to know because they're at that age. They're going to be, Sadie will be 10 in August and Scarlett just turned 12. They are at that age where bullying is hard.
Yeah.
They're living a really, really hard life. And to be the outsider, to have something that is different than everybody else is hard. And I don't want them to think that they have to straighten their hair to conform to the society that makes them think that they're beautiful if they do that.
Right.
Their curls are beautiful as it
right.
is. So I wish I would have had somebody tell me, like, it's okay. That's individuality, and that's a beautiful thing.
Right.
So that's another reason that I wanted to do this. But I loved, like, to give you a bit more of a backstory for those of you who are listening. When Salish and I did meet and she was explaining about her show, I was like, that is so interesting, because being a white woman with curls also comes with its own adversity, because people automatically assume that you are something that you're not, or that you're faking it, or that whatever it may be that the assumptions are, that I've had to say no. And then being a black woman, which of course I will never be, and coming at curls and being naturally curly hair, I learned so much from my students, because most of them are, like I said, from marginalized communities. I learned so much from them about their hair and about what they have to go through and all of this stuff. And like, I think it's really important that no matter what race or color or religion, I don't care. But if you have curly hair, that's a community. Mm-hmm. That's a community to be empowered by your curls, right? It's a curly haired community. And that's beautiful. Like I always say this to my students, our differences are great, right? And our similarities are beautiful. But the similarities are the things that create connection. That's why we need to understand one another. That's why it's important to watch things that maybe you wouldn't normally watch. That way you can go, oh my God, I never knew they felt A, B, and C. I feel that same way. And I just never knew, because they were so-and-so, that they felt that too.
Wait.
But guess what? We're all humans.
So wait, that's an interesting thought that you just said. Our differences, say that again. Our differences what?
Our differences are beautiful.
But our similarities is what can
create connection.
And so I think there's something that happens here, and I'm not sure if this will be a messy thought or not, but
give it to me.
Okay, so I'm from California, where it is praised to, at least when I grew up, it was praised to like be like everybody else. And in New York, it's like you're praised for being different. And so what you're saying with the similarities, when you are different and you feel like there's a main character story arc happening over there, it's like you want to be a part of that main character story, and you want to be similar to them. So it's like we changed ourselves, straightened our hair so that we could be like the girls on TV, so we could be like the girls in the magazines, so that we could feel that connection. But you also just said there is a whole community of curly girls.
Yeah.
And if you just stand in who you are and be who you are, your vibe will attract your tribe.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a firm believer in that, right? Like, there's a reason that I didn't have good friends until 5 or 6 years ago.
Wow.
It's because I wasn't being true to myself.
Whoa.
So I was attracting people who took advantage of me, right? Because they saw I didn't have a lot of self-confidence. So I was attracting bullies all the time. My friends were bullies. They were toxic bullies for so, so long. And then I went, wait a minute.
What am I doing?
I'm cool on my own. And then I went, I don't need these people anymore.
Oh,
and then I met way better people that are now my friends. And I'm like,
this is way better.
This is what life is. This is so much better. They love me for who I am and what I'm
Emily,
not.
I cannot even picture you like in a group of people who are mean to you. I can't even picture, like, you're such a vibe. I can't imagine you trying to fit in with people who are like, not your vibe. Like, I can't even imagine it. You feel like such a trendsetter and like a leader. And I'm glad that you have found your tribe.
Yeah.
Cool.
I feel very lucky. Yeah, it is cool. It is cool. But yeah, that's me. But let me throw it over to you. Like, what's your curly hair journey been?
Okay. Let's see here. Grew up in California. Black family. My family is black, but I feel like they're, and so here's the dot, dot, dot after that. I think here's the disconnect, that my parents are older, and from their generation, it was like illegal to wear your hair a certain way, and it was harder to get a job. And so they saw textured hair as this is going to hold you back.
Yeah.
So this is me trying to give as much compassion to my parents as possible, because I'm like, what? Y'all, come on. What happened? Like, what? Fourth grade, I started straightening my hair, and Emily, you couldn't tell me nothing. Like, my hair was sleek down my back. I would flick that thing. Like, I got the silk press. For those who are listening, it wasn't just the flat iron. I got the silk press. So it was, ooh, ooh, it was just like in the wind down my shoulders. You couldn't tell me nothing. And I did love it. I will say I also loved my curls as a little girl, wow. But my mom did not know what to do. And I surely did not know what to do. And I remember one time it was all wet and I put it in a ponytail and it looked so cute. But then the ponytail dried. I didn't know how to do the product. I didn't know that the product needed to touch every strand of hair. So it was just on the outsides. And then the inside would be completely dry. And I just had no clue. I didn't know how to detangle it. I was detangling my hair dry. Most of it was in the comb, on the ground, in the brush. Like, I just did not know what to do. And so I straightened my hair my whole life through high school, through college. And then when I went on tour in 2015, one of my coworkers, like, first of all, I was making more money. So I was like, oh, now I can get my hair straightened every other week. Like, on the regular, all like just a lot of heat. I never did any perm. I never did any chemicals, but I did a lot of heat all the time. Then my coworker started playing with wigs, and that was the first time that I saw a woman, like a friend, wear a wig, not for Halloween. I was like, oh, you're going to wear a wig and pass it as your own hair? Like, it was like, can we do that? So then I bought one. But then I felt like, oh, I'm lying to everybody, but it's kind of fun. Like, this look is kind of fun. And I was like, well, I go to work and I put wigs on for the stage. And then so it's kind of like that. And I bought so many wigs. I bought so many wigs, which was great because I stopped straightening my hair so much. Not great because I stopped taking care of my hair altogether. At least when I was straightening it, like, hands were in my hair, it was being washed, it was being tended to, even though there was so much heat on it. Then when I discovered wigs, I just, Emily, this is so gross, I just hid it away in a wig cap and just pretended like it was not there. And so I would go to work, put my wig on, leave work, put my personal wig on, go back to work, put my show wigs on, leave the show, put my personal wigs on. My coworkers had no idea what my actual hair looks like. And it wasn't until, this is embarrassing, my hair person at the show said, Salisha, your hair stinks. She's like, when's the last time you washed it? And I couldn't remember. Wow. It was like 3 months or something. Like,
no way. Your scalp wasn't so itchy?
I just was used to it.
Wow.
I didn't even think twice. I was like, but look at all these great looks that I get to wear. And yeah. I feel great, but really I was hiding. I think there's a difference between wearing wigs because it's fun and wearing wigs to hide because you don't like what's underneath. I think there's just a different energy underneath it. So
that's my thing with makeup too.
Oh, yeah,
we can have a whole topic about that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, totally.
That's a big one.
I agree with that. And so after that, I was so embarrassed. I was like, okay, I should wash my and I had touched it for the first time in so long and started to do that again. I still wore my wigs quite a bit, but it was nice to, like, not have heat and to start taking care of my hair. And then it wasn't until I moved out of the tour back to New York and I was in a show where the whole dressing room was talking about curls every day. And I felt like left out of the conversation because everyone was like a proud natural at the show I was in. And I was like, not, like, I was hiding. And so I wanted to be part of the conversation. That was literally my decision to, like, okay, I'm going to go get my hair cut at the same place all these girls are getting theirs cut just so that I can, like, have something to talk about in the dressing room with everybody.
Yeah, share the experience.
Yeah.
Similarities, like I said, create connection.
FOMO. I went natural because of FOMO. And it totally worked. And the last thing that really made me made it easier for me to quit straightening my hair cold turkey was I took an on-camera acting class, and the teacher, and I won't say her name even though she helped me so much, but just in case, I do want to protect her because she made a huge difference in my life, but you can be the judge of what I'm about to say. It was my turn to present in class, and I was at the front and I had the cutest little bob wig on, and she stopped me in the middle of my scene and she was like, Salisha, stop, something's off with your personality and I think it's your hair. I was like, well, what do you mean? And she was so nervous to say anything else. I was like, I promise I won't see you. Just tell me what you mean. And she said, I just feel like you're not yourself. And I think it's your hair. And if I was because she's also a casting director, she's like, if I was going in between casting you and another girl, I would choose the other girl just so that I don't have to ask what's underneath the wig. I would just want to avoid the whole conversation so that I don't say anything wrong. I was like, oh, done. And that's when I realized that the industry has been changing and a lot of people are on stage and in TV and film and magazines with their natural hair. And yes, people are adding hair and wearing wigs and all that, but more and more people's real hairstyles are showing up on stage. So I realized I have to figure out what my look is so that I can rock it.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I mean, I was so like, for a time when I was past that one show that I did, I was in A Christmas Carol and I was playing the Ghost of Christmas Past where they asked me to wear my hair awesome. Natural. So after that show, as I started to like feel and get a feel for like what made my hair work, what made it didn't. I mean, I feel like we're all on that journey always. But right. Always. Like I tell my kids in class, my curls have a mind of their own. They're going to do what they want. And that's just the way it is. But I would straighten my hair, right? At that point, straighteners were a thing and I could actually straighten it myself. It took like 2 hours. I would then take a curling iron, Salisha, and I would curl the straightened pieces of my hair because I didn't like it curly at the root. I only liked it curly 3/4 down. So I would straighten it to curl it. How insane is that? That's crazy. I was trying to achieve something that I already had.
Oh.
And I did that for years. I did that for years. So not only did I heat it the one time, no, I heated it right. twice. I heated it once with the straightening wand and then once with the curling iron. It was not good. That was very bad.
Oh, I can visualize it and I can relate because I didn't do it for years. But when I realized what the wand was, I was like, oh, it makes my curls look like they're on crack. Look
better, right?
Yeah. With all the heat
damage. It's crazy. I know.
With it, it's not the same.
It's absolutely insane what we think we had to do to be acceptable for society. But you're right. It is changing. Times are changing. We are seeing more people coming out and wearing their hair the way that it is naturally being. And that's beautiful because it's giving other people that are growing up in this time the chance to say, well, that looks like me. And if she's doing it, I can do it. Or if they're doing it, I can do it.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, give it to me.
And this is purely opinion. I don't think there's a right or wrong. I'm just curious. Because I've found myself on the other end of this, like looking up to celebrities. Do you think that celebrities should be more transparent, or does it matter? Because it's their, like, it's their business about when they are like adding hair, like, or anything that makes them look bigger than life. Do you think that it should be like a mystery, a secret, so that it's like, wow, something to aspire to? Or do you think that people in the limelight should be more transparent and relatable?
That is a really great question. And I think that my answer would be transparency is the best answer. I think honesty is the best policy, which is such a, excuse me, Jack. honesty is the best policy. So I think because the idea of it being all smoke and mirrors is what makes people so obsessed with this idea of heightened
and
reality.
Perfection.
Go, yes. And if Kim Kardashian can do it, I can too. And I'm like, okay, do you have millions and billions and trillions of dollars? No, you don't. So like maybe it's unattainable for you and that's okay. I also come and we can talk more about this on another episode, but like as a white Jewish woman, as an Ashkenazi Jew, part of my curls come from my DNA, right? That's where that comes from. Most Ashkenazi Jewish women have curly hair. I have a very big problem in my religion that the women that wear, so this is Orthodox women, the women that wear shaitels, which are wigs, right? They shave their head because they only want their husband to think that they're beautiful. And then they'll wear wigs. Those wigs, and you're in New York, so you see it all the time.
I see it all the time.
And are those wigs curly or straight haired, Salisha?
They're straight.
Of course. I have a big problem with that because now you're telling me that my curls aren't beautiful, but you're so about God and about being Jewish and you don't even want to embrace your own DNA and what that is. I have a big problem with that.
Wait. I need you to break this down for me. So all those ladies who I see on the street with those wigs, they've all shaved their heads.
Yes, most of the time.
And when the hair grows back, do they shave it again or do they let it grow?
That I don't know because I'm not an Orthodox Jewish woman. My assumption would be that they keep it somewhat short because they wear those wigs on a daily basis.
And the point is that only their husbands
can see them without the wig.
Huh. I never knew that. Mm-hmm. I've always been curious. And I'm like, I'm not going to stop somebody and ask.
Yeah. And they spend so much money on those wigs. But my problem is, why are they straight haired wigs? Why are they from white women that don't have, or whoever out there with straight hair? You don't have straight hair. I know you don't have straight hair naturally. So why are you doing that? Now you're telling your daughter that she should also not have her curls. So I have a big, that's one of my big things.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
I have so many questions. And now I'm not usually in this seat of like, I don't want to say the wrong thing. Like I just feel like our hair is so tight to our identity. Yeah. I cannot imagine it being like custom to shave it.
I strongly suggest, Zach Braff is like a genius to me. If you've never seen, oh God, what's his new one? God, I'm going to have to look it up because otherwise I'm going to forget. Come on, where are you? Oh, Wish I Was Here. If you've never seen Wish I Was Here with Zach Braff, Joey King, and so many good people are in it.
No, I have to look this up. I'm like,
it's fabulous. But they talk about the hair shaving and stuff in it. But
I'm so shook and so blown right now.
Yeah, it's really. So I just have a problem with that. I mean, I'm not a like performing Jewish person, but it's still in my DNA. I was still raised to be Jewish. So like, I do have a problem with other people shaving their curls, knowing that they're shaving their curls and then putting a straight haired wig on. I'm like, what are you trying to do?
Is there a choice of, do you know?
Of what wig?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. They're spending thousands of dollars on those wigs. They can choose which one they want. It's just most of the time they choose blonde straight with hair. And I'm like, why are you trying to assimilate?
Do they all go to the same person?
Most of the time, you're going to go to the same place.
No. Yeah. The whole community, do they go to the same? Because they are all, like, at least in my neighborhood and all over New York.
Yeah.
It feels like, wait, everyone over here is shopping at the same place. Where are y'all shopping?
Yeah. In the Jewish community, I used to date a modern Orthodox Jewish man before I met my husband. And where he lived in Brooklyn was high time Jewish center.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they typically buy from Jewish stores with Jewish owners. And
got it.
Once again, I have a big problem with that. I don't quite agree. So I'm glad that human and I broke up when we did.
Oh
yeah.
Oh man. I do have so many questions, but you know what?
Yeah. I'm sure you do.
I do, but it's also kind of like great to learn about, like, as for me, I am not Jewish. I have dated one Jewish guy. Maybe two. But neither of them were practicing. And so, but I'm always open to like learning about other cultures, other religions, all the things. I grew up with both my pastors, both of my grandpas were pastors. Very strict household is what I grew up in. And so I've dated like atheists and agnostics, even though like I am a Jesus freak myself. And so, but I'm always open to hearing about these other ways of life and very curious, like how we can be living such different experiences on the same planet or in the same city or in the same school or whatever. I like know. That is
reality is crazy.
It is wild.
Yeah. But I think that's the kind of the best capper to this episode is like, we should stay curious. We should be asking questions. If you don't know the answer, go up and ask somebody if they can help you out, right? Like we have to be kinder to one another. But I think Steph and I, when we first started Break the Cycle and Cycle Chats way, way, way back, we kept saying, ask why. Don't just take something that somebody says at face value. Ask them why they feel that way. Because chances are they're just saying it point blank. And then if you make them think about it, they may take a second and actually go, you know what? Maybe I didn't mean it that way. So get curious. I think that's what this show is going to kind of be more of, is like us getting curious and understanding and talking about what makes us confident in all of these separate areas. I've already thought of like 18 different topics for us to talk about. But I guess how I want to end is like asking you what your hopes are for the show. Like, what are you hoping people take away from it?
Okay. So I am glad that you asked that because I do have another show called Black Hair and the Big Leagues. And we touch on hair, but I will say in 2020, it was more so about hair and strictly about hair because I just like did not know what to do with my own and how to style it, how to love it. And then it started morphing into more about career, more about other things and touching on hair. So my hopes with this show is that it truly is is focus on our curls and different things around hair and it being like, I don't know, something that I can keep exploring and asking questions about and learning about. And I don't know, I think that's kind of where I'm at. How about you?
I hope that younger self, it's a big part of our whole network, is like if your 15-year-old self would be proud of you. I hope that my younger self, or anybody who's in the same space that I was when I was younger, who felt ostracized and the outsider and who didn't feel comfortable being truthful to who they were, I hope they listen to this and know that there's a community of people for them that felt the exact same way. And unfortunately, a lot of it is part of the journey, because it helps you get to be a better human on the other side, because then you have more empathy and more sympathy for other people and hopefully learn to love yourself for truly who you are. So I think that's my wish for this show, is that somebody out there just goes, wow, I am not alone and I'm so thankful.
Which is, I'm glad that you said that. And that'll be a good reminder for me and us to like be candid and be transparent, because the things that like I personally would be the most embarrassed about might be the most relatable to somebody out there who is like in a similar place.
I don't know what to do. Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
I'm still trying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What a joy. And I knew this was going to be exciting. I'm smiling from ear to ear. I'm probably going to have to like unstitch my smile now, because I feel like my cheeks are all excited.
Yeah, but I do.
Until next time, keep embracing those curls, stay confident, and remember, what makes you different makes you beautiful. See you next time.
See you next time.